listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Well, welcome back to Don't Mention the Football with a sniggering Jan in the background. We're doing an emergency recording this time in the light of the events of the Berlin Derby. So we're doing this rather quickly over the last one. But
sounds like someone died.
Yeah,
Emergency broadcast.
Pretty much.
Evacuate your houses.
After the last one, that was what was it? What the fuck was that? Yeah, things were quite rosy back in those days, and now it's taken a turn for the worse. So who've we got with us today? We've got young Patrick from Canada.
Hey, what's up?
And equally young Joel from Canada.
Hello.
And the amazing Jan, lurking in Berlin still. Right, so what are we talking about, chaps? Yes, it was an eventful night. Wasn't really expecting to get that much from it, to be honest. There was lots of speculation about trouble and what have you at the stadium, which, I didn't see that much of that personally, but there was a lot of people there, full house.
I don't know if you guys heard about it, but I think it was at Ostkreuz that the police arrested and searched a bunch of ultras, and they found like weapons and, you know, nasty objects.
I heard that they had found flares and masks and stuff. There was some sort of altercation with some rival fans. Police got involved, and a bunch of the Hertha ultras got canned,
yep,
as I understand it. And as a result of that, in the Ostkurve, there weren't any sort of banners. There were a few at the start, but they got taken down sort of fairly quickly. So all the normal sort of big flags and things being waved and things were just not there.
Sorry, did you notice any incidents outside the stadium before or after the match?
No, not personally.
Okay.
Yeah, we sort of arrived, and there was a few Union fans in the train and things on the way. There was no sort of hassle that I saw. The trains were absolutely heaving because the U-Bahn going there is still out. So the only way of sort of getting there, unless you sort of walk or drive or whatever, was on the S-Bahn.
Jesus.
They were packed. The first couple of trains that we tried to pick up from Charlottenburg were crammed. You couldn't possibly get in anymore. And the next one that we got on, leaving Charlottenburg, we managed to get onto it okay. It was pretty busy, but still okay. And when we arrived at Westkreuz, the platform was heaving, absolutely heaving with fans. And of course, as people do, the doors open and basically they all just piled in anyway. And it was, it was rather thin sardines by the end of it all. It was absolutely crammed.
Wow.
So you didn't have to worry about holding on to the rails or anything. Nobody was going to fall over anyway. If they did, they were dead because it was absolutely packed. So, but no trouble. No trouble that I saw. That's not to say there wasn't, but certainly none that I saw. There was a bit of argy-bargy in the crowd with people getting upset about people standing up and blocking views. But sort of nothing serious, really.
I would almost be happy if someone blocked my view during that game.
As it turned out, yes.
Yeah. All right, so yes, a derby.
It was quite an impressive choreo at the stadium.
Yes.
I don't know if people that are watching it on telly would have seen that. I tweeted a bit of stuff about it, but when you're in the middle of it, it's a bit difficult to get a good picture, really. But yeah, it was quite impressive. Even though the ultras and things, or at least some of the ultras weren't there, I mean, the choreo all sort of went ahead.
Yeah.
Because rather than being just around the Ostkurve, it was around sort of, a good half of the stadium. So, everybody was in sort of pre-assigned places, and they had either blue or white sort of like placard things to hold up. And it was quite impressive. It was all sort of timed as to when people did it, so it had sort of ha ho he had to be SE and things all around the upper tier. It was quite fun.
So what was the signal on site?
It was all happened when the teams our team, that is, had just been announced. And I think it was when they announced Schwartz at the end. And it was, you were supposed to sync it with the first ones going up at the front of the Ostkurve.
Okay.
Down the bottom. But there were little notices and things around the place, you know, every 20th seat or whatever had a little description of what was going to happen and what you had to do. And there were big posters around the stadium and things as well. So it was pretty well organized. It was quite a fun thing to be involved in anyway.
Yeah, it looked really good. And for once, somewhat like the Herta social media finally seemed to, you know, have a coup and actually shared a lot of it on their platforms. And it looked pretty great.
Good for them.
Yeah, I saw it on their Instagram and their YouTube even and their Twitter. So they managed to, you know, at least get it out there.
Yeah. I think I did a video clip and things, I think, at the time. I think I sort of did that at the time from the stadium. But it's a bit hard, really, because you're sort of holding this big sort of placard thing up and trying to film at the same time. So it was a bit wobbly, really, because I was just holding it in one hand, pointing out over the top. But hey, you know, it's the best I could do. So
yeah, but basically, they just did the choreo and then left, right?
What do you mean?
The ultras did the choreo because they spent all their time and money to do it, and then they left. There was no organized support.
I heard about that, but I don't remember seeing anything on TV from that.
That's what Ines said.
The banners and things, you know, weren't there. But really, there probably wasn't so much of the organization. I can't remember hearing the capo sort of shouting out things, thinking about it, but there was still a lot of
singing. As it was not there.
There was a lot of singing anyway. So although it may not have been organized, you know, the thing where they do the ha ho he on the top tier and then the Hertha BSC at the bottom, there was some monster one of those going on. So there was plenty of singing. It could have been better, I'm sure, but, you know, it wasn't too shabby.
So do we focus on the game or do we move on?
Maybe everybody says one thing about the game.
One thing about the game. Okay, well, I mean, I was in and out of the room, so I couldn't get a good idea of the flow of the game. So I cannot really help much on that question. Sorry. What about you, Joel? What do you remember from the game?
I feel like, again, it was kind of one of those matches where it felt like Herta seemed to perform a little better in a way, you know, but then the result just, again, doesn't follow. Like, it didn't feel like we were totally out of it, I don't think, until definitely the second goal, for sure, because then Union had definitely seemed to have taken over the match, the sense of just their play and everything. But in that first half, 1-0, it seemed like something could still give and, you know, tie it up or a Jessic whatever, a hat trick or but I mean the for me what stands out was the second goal and all that nonsense right before it. Like, did Khedira not like step right on his foot in the box and trample him down before running off with the ball and then scoring that second goal? I had the advantage of TV and a bit of replay, and it looked pretty bad to me. But that ref just sort of, he VAR'd it himself, waved it off immediately. So, I mean, I don't know. But that's, for me, that stuck out as definitely the killer moment.
At the time in the stadium, it certainly looked like it. Though, as you know, you can't necessarily see things that well. You know, you almost see what you want to see, don't you, I suppose. But the second goal didn't go up on the screens for ages. And then eventually he wandered off towards the screen for VAR, and nothing happened. So yeah, but certainly on the ground, it just seemed outrageous, because you know how sort of pumped up and things you get, that, you know, oh, what, he's been fouled, it's a penalty and what have you, and then they all just ran up to the other end of the pitch while people were still squawking about it. Didn't go down well, that.
Were you happy with the starting formations?
Oh, don't ask technical questions. Ask people about.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. What was I thinking?
You know, I'm your waffle man. I'm not detailed.
Okay. Noted.
He signed the contract, Patrick. You should know the contract.
Yes. Yes. You're a lawyer. Good point. All right. So then I guess we can talk about the aftermath. Okay. So the game, the match was. What? Jan, go ahead.
Yeah. Definitely penalty. I remember the same penalty in the in Köpenick when they won the first derby.
Mm-hmm.
And Brich is an asshole. Just an asshole. Basically, also, I looked at VAR Tabelle, which is where they factor in mistakes by the referees, stuff like that. And there, Hertha is 16th, not 17th, just so you know.
16th place in terms of making bad decisions, or?
No. They factor in all the decisions in games that happened. And if there was some wrong call, then they award the points to the team that didn't get the points.
Okay.
If everything would have been fair, they would be in place such and such. But this season...
That's not how the world works.
Yes, it is. I'm a Republican. That's how it works. I want a redo. I want a do-over. It was a peaceful protest.
Yes. All right.
No, but even Urs Fischer said that Hertha, that they were lucky to win and Hertha was the better team in the first half.
All right.
Certainly felt that way to a totally biased viewpoint. The contrast between Saturday and Tuesday.
Massive.
Was just crazy.
Yeah.
It felt like, somebody's just sort of, put a new battery in and switched it on.
And Dodi's brother came back. Or his twin was removed, something. I don't know. Missing up all the jokes. But what did Boetius do in the first half? I looked at the highlights before I hopped on here, and he has the ball in the box, and he just somehow loses it all by himself instead of shooting.
I miss that part.
Jesus.
Sounds like a very Hertha-esque kind of thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So full-time 2-0 Union.
Does anybody want to mention the pyros at halftime?
Oh, yeah. It seems that I'm the only one who wants to move on from that match.
Sorry.
But yeah, please.
I keep on interrupting.
No, please, go ahead.
Massive pyro show. Not in the Ostkurve, I think it's probably fair to say. But the normal away block, plus the bit on the sort of northern side of the sort of Marathon Tour gap. That's where all the Union fans were parked. We'd heard beforehand that there was going to be increased security with people bag searching and what have you. Going into the stadium. It seemed to have worked better at the east end than the west, because the whole place was basically lit up. And this was it at halftime or just, must have been just the second half kicked off or thereabouts, but there was just smoke everywhere. It was like a war zone over there. But it was quite comical saying they were going to take extra security measures before going in and the place looked like that. And there must have been hundreds of flares going off.
What about the kids?
Well, absolutely. The stadium announcer kept on saying.
What about the kids? Did they bring their own flares? They should have.
Probably.
Their bum holes.
Them out.
That's how they got them in. They smuggled them inside small children.
Yes. There you go. There you go. That's the spirit.
Shh. Have I given away a secret now? Oops. Whoops. I'll be in trouble.
Sorry about that. All right. So, okay. 2-0 for Union. And when will the next derby be? I don't know. Depends on which league we are playing.
Possibly in several years, I would suggest.
Possibly. Possibly. Okay. So the match was on Saturday morning, and less than 24 hours later,
afternoon.
All right. So yeah, Bobic is gone after 606 days. They should have waited another 60 days to have a really cool headline, but
It's great we have all that data available.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder who is responsible for that. Who we should thank for that.
Must be you.
I'll give you a clue. It wasn't the details man here.
Definitely not me either.
I thought you were the waffle man.
I am. I am.
The waffle man.
With cream and maple syrup. Thank you very much.
All right. So, yeah, Bobic has been sacked along with technical director Sebastian Zelikowski and team manager Thomas Westphal.
Okay, now we're going to talk amongst ourselves, and we will do some anagrams of those names real quick.
No, but I do have anagrams, but not from those guys.
Oh.
Yeah, because they are history, so, you know, no need to honor them with an anagram anymore. You know, they're gone, so off you go.
The sacred anagram.
To me, it is. All right, so I don't know where to start, to be quite honest. I know that, Joel, you were a bit of a different opinion regarding that firing. We can start with you. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so like right off the bat, for me, it's like, it just felt like a bit of a knee-jerk reaction more than, you know, a thought-out one and a bit of like a political firing, you know, for me. It's just because like, okay, day of Derby or right after the Derby, that's when you do it. It's like, okay. And then now we're still, which I know I don't mean to segue into it right away, there's still a few more transfers ongoing. I'm sure Bobic was involved in all of those. So he's fired, but we're still just going to go with his plan, right? You know, so like how much sense does that even make, really? And for me, it's, again, you know, it's not that I'm just so pro Bobic. Like it's not, I'm not like big Bobic fanboy or something, but it's just, I think he, you know, had a plan in place and I don't think we gave him the time to truly execute it. And, you know, as I've shared with you guys, like a little bit, is that, you know, I just really feel like he wasn't finished his job. He didn't get a chance to truly clean up the Preetz, Windhorst mess, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it's just like he was not finished and we didn't get him a chance to finish. And it's just the timing. Again, you know, it just, that's what makes it feel like that knee jerk and not. But again, on the timing, I read somewhere, I don't recall the source now, but it said something that had he actually stayed on later into February, it would have kicked in something regarding his contract and then he would have been forced extension. So, I mean, that, you know, given that, okay, maybe the organization doesn't want to hold on to him for a couple more years and have that extension kick in. So maybe fair, but then again, like it's just okay. Day after Derby, it's like I just felt like you're just trying to appease somebody.
It looks bad in that way. That's true. And you mentioned like you weren't really, you know, specifically pro Bobic, you know, at any cost. So that means you're not a Bobic.
Oh, yeah,
I know this.
Oh, right.
Yes, horrible.
Can you give yourself a whammy or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, this one. No, when you said that you're not a pro Bobic, I didn't want to interrupt, but if you saw me smile, that was why.
Honestly,
the worst joke ever. Yeah, oh yeah, I thought it, and I'm gonna wait a few seconds.
I'm gonna slip that in somehow.
Yeah, I'm gonna drop that load of crap right into the middle of the conversation. So well done, me. Yes. Bravo. Yay. Bravo. So yes, you bring a good point about the transfers though. Now he is out the door and now, you know, the new guy. Let's talk about the new guy. The new guy is a Tseka.
Could we stay on the Bobic? Evaluate his work and then move on?
Please.
Okay. He said he's not done with the transfers. Outgoing transfers 21-22. Mateusz Kuna, Jon Córdoba, Luka Netz, Arne Meyer, Denis Jastrzębski, Matthew Lecky, Jessica Nankam, Javier Dulusun, Dejon Redan, Dodi Luke Bakio, Omar Alderete, Krzysztof Piątek, Eduard Löwen, John Tonariga, Dijovay Sosefolk, Sammy Kedira, Rufen Wertmüller. And for this season, Jürgen Ecklenkamp, Arne Meyer, Javier Dulusun, John Tonariga, Dedrick Boyata, Jessica Nankam, Krzysztof Piątek, Eduard Löwen, Anton Kade, Dom Jun Lee, Alexander Schwolo, Luca Wollschläger, Jacques Belfry, Lukas Klünter, Nils Jörg Körber, Niklas Stark, Marcel Lotka, Frederik Björkern, Davy Selke, Valimir Rida, Daishon Redan, Anzatego Askasiban, Dejo Weijo Seefolk, Frederik Björkern, Linus Gechter, Omar Alderete.
Okay.
That sounded like a very small Welsh village somewhere in Snowdonia.
Yes, that was impressive. that was impressive, actually.
I don't know how you did that, Jan, but yeah,
nicely done. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, full props.
Did you get the screenshot I sent you earlier? What really broke Hertha?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for our listeners, it was three people leaving specifically.
Free transfers.
Free transfers, exactly. Shelbret, Kalou, and Ibisevic specifically. And, well, I mean, that was quite a bit of leadership who went out the door. You know, Ibisevic and Chelbret were model employees, if you want to, you know, call it that way.
Kalu too.
And, well, I mean, Kalu is his own world, but he was still, you know, still a good guy, popular in the dressing room, I suppose. So that's still a big loss. And I'm guessing they never really replaced them.
No, Chelbret was really sort of, you know, he didn't sort of stand out, did he, in the midfield there? But he was, you know, sort of holding things together. He sort of worked really hard, and really an important member of the team. But, you know, perhaps not very sort of glitzy and glamorous, but, you know, he did an important job. And if you lose somebody like that, you know, it can make a big difference.
And then Darida left as well. And then Pekarik, it is his last season, I think. So that's a lot of experience, you know, out the door. And we will replace them with who?
It's worth saying, actually, as you mentioned, Paka. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
Yes.
In the Derby game, he made such a difference. I mean, he just tidied things up so much. Such a contrast to the Tuesday beforehand. I mean, bear in mind, he's probably about twice the age of some of the players on that pitch. He was doing a pretty damn good job. So yeah, just thought I'd mention that.
Yes.
To say something for Bubic. Mm-hmm. Normally, what's his face? John Joe Kenny has improved over the season, except for Tuesday.
I mean, did anyone have a good game on Tuesday?
No.
Not really, right?
Jesic.
Yes, that's true. And Jan, you mentioned that Bobic didn't threaten, but he mentioned he got back at a reporter from just asking a question or something.
He asked him if the position of the manager, Schwarz, is secure. He said yes. And do you understand that there is a discussion from outside? He said no. And then when he said thank you, then he left and said, if you ask me one more time, I'm going to slap you.
Did he mean it or?
Yes.
I mean, okay. Wow. You don't want to hear that for sure. A threat of violence is not good.
No.
But I mean, if I'm going to silver lining it at all, at least it's some passion in defense of his job and for the team in a way. But not the right outlet for it, certainly.
Did it happen immediately after the match?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the on-field interview, basically, side of the field, whatever.
Okay.
I thought I'd heard somewhere that he was told that his firing was going to happen during the game.
Okay.
I can't remember where I saw that Kai Bernstein basically said what was going to happen during the game. But that might be a load of old rubbish. I could have read it for some random tweet or something somewhere. I can't remember, to be honest. But I did hear that.
Wow, that's crazy. That sounds like one of those like crazy like MLB trades. Like, you know, when the pitcher's traded at the in between innings and he was traded to the other team and now, you know, something like that.
Go change your uniform.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
You're on deck next inning.
Even if that story was a load of rubbish, the way it happened, you know, even if it was after the game or whatever, the whole business of him being sort of given the push was almost like a political assassination, really, in some ways. It was almost like it was timed, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, for whatever the reasons, because from what I could gather, he had upset a lot of people within the club, like almost everybody, really.
That's true.
And they were probably going to do it come what may. I mean, that's total speculation on my part, but...
That would make sense, because I think it was you, Jan, last episode, who mentioned that Bobic was notoriously hard to work for or with. Do you remember mentioning that?
I mean, he was never a fan favorite in Frankfurt.
Okay, so there you go. So what a mess. So more on Bobic, or do we move on to the next?
Oh, I have some more.
Okay, go ahead, please.
They paid 2.5 million for him. He is by far the highest paid manager in the league, by far. He brought in huge numbers of colleagues and personnel. For example, Benjamin Weber quit because they put somebody else in his position where he had been in he had it for 18 years and he was the coordinator of the academy, and they put somebody new there. And all these people have really, really big contracts. They make lots of money, and it basically led to, how can you say that in a nice way? There was some atmospheric disturbances at the Geschäftsstelle because of that.
Okay.
I mean, so much that the press wrote about it. So it must have been more than, you know, I don't know, a frown at the coffee machine.
Yes.
So he bought lots of people, and then he flirted with the DFB position.
Yeah. So did he make the first move, or did the DFB approach him first?
He was mentioned, and when they asked him, he said, "Oh yeah." Like, I mean,
okay,
it's a simple thing. You say, "Oh, I have a contract here," but he didn't.
Sure. Yes.
And now they're all shitting on Bernstein just for saying the German saying that you shouldn't stop travelers. Also, Reisende soll man nicht aufhalten, which is basically, I mean, if you have the player who's unhappy, you have to have him leave. I mean, you know, not like Dortmund and Dembele or something like that. And so he never, and then he was upset that he said that if somebody wants to leave, he should leave.
I agree with that. Like, you know, there is no point in keeping an unhappy player.
Bernstein was on a podcast with Hertha Base.
Mm-hmm.
He said something about when they asked him about 777 or 777 or, I don't know, 777, that they might have some news soon. And then Bobic in the press conference complained about that he was leaking information. But if you just look at what happened, he came in. Dardai played 14 games, 17 points, something like that.
Okay.
Something that was not very good, but also not very bad. Then he fired him. And then, which is the most, I mean, this is an impeachable offense. He brought in Typhoon Korkut.
Yes.
I mean, if Hertha would have gone down, would have totally on him in that season. That's like an unforced error.
Times 1,000.
It's like shit in the bed.
Yes.
But I think the contract renewal was also important. And I think he's just an asshole. I'm sorry, he's just an asshole.
Don't mince your words now.
Yes, tell us what you really think.
Yeah, don't hold back.
I mean, have you seen him in press conferences or in TV interviews? Last week he said something that, yeah, the press is always looking for something, for some shit they can talk about so to make things worse. It sounds kind of like you're the enemy of the people. That type of tough stuff to me.
Yes, you know? Yeah, you mentioned that last episode, that's true.
But if, you know, if you remember Lena Kassel, she was with Hertha for 2 years at Hertha TV.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now gone on to work as a journalist in podcasting and also for Aktuelle Sportstudio. So she's making it, and we all miss her. And she is on a daily podcast called MML. It's a football podcast. And she tweeted about it, and she said, before money, power, and many people from outside came to the club, Hertha BSC was in the middle of the table with Hertha players like Pal Dardai for years and even played in the European League, Europa League. Too little Hertha and too many big names led to a 4-year relegation battle. In my comment, too little and too much can be understood to mean that the right balance between internal and external was missing. Of course, it's not just about old Hertha players. It was about a healthy balance, and it wasn't there in the end. And he made Arne Friedrich leave.
Yes. I mean, I remember him leaving. So he was like pushed out pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's a loss for sure.
I mean, he was about to leave anyway, but he must have been really not nice.
Yeah, Arne was a lot more engaging too. It's like there was a big difference when he came in and started doing things around. Because even just from the OFC perspective or membership perspective, he allowed international people to become members. It's because of Arne Friedrich that I'm a member right now. You know, they didn't figure out the whole PayPal thing in time or whatever it was, but they let me.
It was a payment problem.
Yeah. Yeah, which still exists, by the way. But I'm still a member in good standing, apparently. Whenever I flash my card around, anyway, it still works. So
good enough.
And I mean, that's all thanks to Arne, you know, and his engagement. because I think that was even, you know, shout out to Brian Hertz in North America. I'm pretty sure he just literally tweeted him and said, hey, like, can we somehow get some Americans and Canadians to join the club? And he said, yes, that. Working on it. And they did.
Yep. I remember that. That was pretty cool. So what's next, basically?
Well, first of all, Joel is so young. He should really think about becoming a lifelong member, which you can become for the single one-time payment of €1,892.
Yeah, I saw that. I've looked at it. And I think, if I could pay it, if I can do it in person, maybe I would. I'll do that next time. I just don't know if Herta is coordinated enough for me to pay them in that way. And unfortunately,
do you really need to ask? The answer is no, of course.
You can send a check in the mail.
Okay, I mean, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess so. True, if they can. It's something I would consider because I have looked at that. And but yeah,
I just got the calculator out and it's not going to be worth it for me.
There you go.
I'm not a young whippersnapper like Joel. I'm an old fogey.
So Zecker is now the boss, pretty much?
No. Benjamin Weber is the boss.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
And he is something they found a funny new word for. He's sportlicher Leiter or something like that.
Okay.
So they put like the carrot in front of his face. Hey, if you do good, you can become the Sportdirektor. Oh, and one thing, Bubic was miles away from the team. Miles away from the team.
Okay.
He was, I read it, and Elfreund, he was so far away from the team that the players realized that Korkut was sacked and that Magath came in. They learned it from the press.
Really? Jesus. Okay, so that's not a good... it's not a good look.
No, it's not. I mean, so like, you know, and again, not the Bobic fanboy, but or a Bobic bitch or whatever we
don't give him an opportunity to say it again.
Freddy fanboy.
I wonder, is that how he operated in Frankfurt too? You know, like I just don't know. Like how much did we maybe know about him or not before?
That's a good question.
Because I think what he did in Frankfurt was no accident, you know, and we're talking about now European champions, right? Like, so.
Without him.
I guess that's, well, I mean, he built that team for years and like, I think he still gets, you know, some credit when it happened within a year of his departure. That has to be.
No, I think it's just the other people, they were so good that they made it despite him.
Look good.
Well,
basically.
Were those the other people that he brought with him about that massive group of Frankfurters he brought?
No, he didn't bring the right people, I guess.
Yeah.
He only brought the shitty ones.
Yeah. It may have just been that the people that were at Frankfurt were able, just because of their own personalities, to get on with the guy. So it worked. Whereas when he came to Hertha, it clearly didn't. So, I mean, that's, again, wild speculation. But it might have been something as simple as that. Just fluke, really, that the people that were there.
Yeah, I guess for me, my feelings come from just a place of like I'm just tired of the change for the sake of change. And it just feels like it's been that way for a few years now, you know, where like, you know, our just revolving door of managers and now sporting directors even so it's just and then like a coincide with that timing of, oh, Derby loss. Time to change something again or whatever.
The fifth Derby loss in a row, I think.
Yeah.
That's not good, but you're right that the timing makes it look, you know, almost suspicious, but considering the extension that was supposed to kick in, okay.
I mean, I think that's fair. You know, I'm not sure I'd want to keep him for those years as well. So yeah, I mean, maybe getting rid of him now was the only option because for that reason, for sure. But yeah.
If they were thinking about it, that would have been that could have pushed them over the edge, couldn't it? Just timing wise, it's
odd. So, do you think Schwarz is starting to feel the heat more, or no changes, or
no,
it's not going to change anything.
Well, they've confirmed he's in for the rest of the season, right? This season,
No matter what.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, if he's feeling heat, I would imagine it's just because he knows, again, to use
that he sucks.
Well, sorry, to use the term from last episode, but the whole sink or swim. Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's up to him now, but, you know, because now it'll be his record, in a sense, for the second half of the season, right?
Yeah, I guess. And, I mean, we are getting some reinforcements. We got Nida Lechner, who appeared briefly in the derby. Any impressions of the guy?
I didn't even see him on the highlights.
Okay, so that's not a good sign.
I can't remember when he came on.
Neither do I. I watched the whole game, but I don't remember seeing him.
Jesus, okay.
That's not a good sign, is it?
69th minute.
All right.
From Boetius.
That's not much. So,
yeah, that's true. And it was 2-0 by that point anyway. So, you know, he came in immediately after the second goal. So, yeah.
Well, I went to see Hertha 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third team. And they're in the Bezirksliga, which is far, far away from even the Regionalliga. And it was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
So bad. What, worse than Tuesdays? Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so are they going to sign any of those guys?
I don't think so.
Okay, I hope not.
And I know that they should talk on the field. And you hear, if you go to Hertha 2, you see under 23s, you see here all this communication about the match. But there, whenever something happened, 22 guys were yelling. And then the referee was giving out cards and they were almost fighting. It was really toxic masculinity at its best.
Awesome. That sounds like Hertha. So, okay, great.
Really bad. I mean, most of these guys don't even come from the academy.
Huh, okay.
So it's really shit.
So they're just random people they've dragged off the streets. Is that how it
basically
works?
No. They go to Cottbus Athor on Sunday morning, and then they take five guys, and then they have to play. It's the whole thing. The rank is... Hertha Bundesliga, Hertha under 23s, and then you have the U19. So these people are just people who play for fun, or it was really bad. And there were like 20 Hertha fans, all pretty quiet except for a really drunk guy who kept yelling. And
was it you?
No. Patrick is on the mean side today.
I'm on the smart ass side. But why did you watch that game? Why did you go?
Because the under 23s was Friday night, so I couldn't go. So I wanted to see some Hertha.
Okay. I guess bad Hertha is better than no Hertha, right? almost a spit take. Almost. Yes. All right. Okay, so can we talk about the newcomer? There is one guy from Auxerre, I think.
Oh, I can't pronounce that name.
Gauthier Hein, apparently.
I know.
The guy himself. Said it on Twitter. It's not pronounced "eh," because in French that would sound like that, you know, "eh." It's an odd name. It's an odd name for another reason as well, because Gauthier is usually a last name.
Didn't Argentina have a guy with a German last name for some time?
Heinze, Gabriel Heinze, yes.
Heinze. I wonder what his grandparents did between 33 and 45.
Well, there you go. But most important is... I have anagrams for that guy. Yes, the highlight of every episode or every
roll?
Transfer window.
Get that drum roll, you know, ready.
Yes, I got this.
Hey.
But, okay, so I have two. I have eat urine high. Not drink urine, eat urine high.
Well, in Canada, once it freezes, you can do that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like an ice pop.
Yes. Yes. Good point. And Jan is going to.
Jan, you've got a very funny color.
Yes. Turning bright red almost. And, in the same order of ideas, I got a urine height. If you want to, you know, piss high or something, piss over a fence, a urine height. So there you go.
have a few beers and build up a bit of pressure, and then you can shoot higher.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. No, that's the spirit. That is the spirit. And another guy that I didn't know exist, his name, apparently he's a goalkeeper, Tjark Ernst. We talked about that guy a few minutes ago, right?
Before the recording.
Yes. So I got one. I got Tanker Street Jr. Tanker Street Jr.
Okay.
And Joel, you know the sports network in Canada, TSN?
Yeah.
I have TSN Jerk Rat.
Okay.
There you go. That's all you need to know. So this was the anagrams for today. Thank you.
Well, that was shit.
Well, you know, just like the team. So, you know, it's, it's a perfect match. Perfect match.
So did we mention what the new people will do? The new executives?
Not yet, but let's do that.
Benjamin Weber, who used to be the coordinator of the academy, which was pretty successful, especially with winning the German U19 championship in 2017 or 2018. He will be sort of the sport director, but not named sport director.
Sports director's apprentice.
That sounds terrible already.
Sports intern.
Yes.
And the problem is that the guy who was responsible for the squad, the guy who put the squad together, Dirk Dufner, he's still there.
Oh yeah, Dufner, yes, that name rings a bell. Okay, so you would have liked him to go as well?
Yes.
Okay. And he is still there?
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
And
is he a Klingon?
A Klingon?
Sorry, stupid joke on my part. Sorry.
Oh, Jan is frozen. Okay, you're back.
Did that joke kill Jan?
Exactly.
Yes, he looks like he's going to burst a blood vessel.
Now we're switching from Star Trek to Star Wars. It doesn't work.
Another newcomer, I mentioned him a couple of minutes ago, Tseka. Tseka is back as, I'm not sure, what is his title?
He will be responsible for the connective tissue between the team and the executives.
That sounds gross, but okay.
In German, it's called Bindeglied.
Okay.
And lead is also penis. So.
This podcast is going downhill fast, I can tell you.
Yes. You're one to, you know, shout at me about my anagrams, and you start throwing, you know, penis here and penis there. Oh my God. Okay, so are you happy with those nominations?
Eat a piss popsicle.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I did mention that. Yes. No, Simon did. Simon did.
Hey, don't blame me.
I mentioned the height. Only the height. That was it. You turned it into a popsicle, but okay. Anyway, doesn't matter. So Jan, are you happy with those nominations?
I think that the fact that they brought in Tseke in that position tells you a lot about how far, far away Bobic must have been from the team.
Okay.
And that's what Arne was really great at. Remember when the team had to go into this quarantine?
Mm-hmm.
He was FaceTiming 24 hours a day with everybody, getting stuff to them, workout equipment and everything.
Wasn't there an article about that? Like there was pictures of his office or something? Okay, so okay, I'm not crazy.
Okay, debatable.
Oh yeah, I am, but you know, that part I remember at least. Okay.
So no, I'm happy. I just want the witch is dead. The witch is dead.
Yes.
It was mentioned, I mean, the press conference was 45 minutes almost, and they always have to tiptoe the line between honesty and decorum.
PR, yeah.
Yeah, but he said something about that these two new people are constantly burning for the club. And then somebody asked, is that something that Freddy Bobic was missing probably? And he just didn't say anything.
Okay. Okay. Sometimes by not saying anything, you say a lot.
Yeah.
So that must have been one of those examples. Okay. The transfer window closes in...
Today.
Was it today or tomorrow? I'm not sure. But no one else is supposed to come in, right? As far as I know.
Oh, there's four people on the list at Bild. One of them is Yannick Vestergaard, who's a defender.
Yes. Danish, I think. He was at Norwich at some point.
Bremen.
Yes. Yes, Bremen as well. Yeah, really, really big guy. Okay. I mean, I guess that can't hurt. That's some enthusiasm for you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, our defense for a long time has been a bit of a pickle, isn't it?
Yes.
They occasionally sort of look okay. We need a bit of stability there, which we haven't had for a long, long time now.
Okay, so yeah, let's move on.
Oh, when I went through all the transfers, I also looked up some of the stats. When Piontek was loaned out last season, he scored 6 goals in all competitions for Florence.
Okay.
And, oh, some time ago they were asking, spring, I don't know, summer, they were asking about, because of the sanctions, I think the fee for Cordoba hasn't been paid, the 20 million.
The Russian team, the Russian club, Krasnodar?
Krasnodar.
Yeah. Krasnodar, yes. Okay.
Because they can't make payments right now. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus. Okay. well, that sucks. And there's nothing they can do. Good old Erta, never change. My God. Okay. So next item, I guess. Jan, are you good with that?
Yeah. Anything else we missed? Next match is Frankfurt. Looks like a beating to me.
Yes.
Another, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
One thing, I'm really pissed about how almost every Hertha fan is now crying. Like, I wrote this in German yesterday. I have the feeling that most people are just Hertha fans to show themselves how much they suffer. And they love that about themselves.
But we do, Jan. We do.
Shut up, Simon.
Well, I mean, we are good at it. Yeah. You know, being a fan of Hertha, that goes without saying.
You've got to play to your strengths after all, you know.
Exactly. All right, so let's make a U-turn and move on to the next item. Jan, you wanted to introduce this section to the podcast, and that's a good idea, so please, go ahead.
With all the negativity surrounding us, and I thought we could just talk about what makes us happy. I basically stole this off an NPR podcast. But
okay, all right.
Simon.
What makes me happy? Being in the mosh pit. That's nothing to do with Hertha, is it?
What makes you happy right now?
Oh, but right now? I don't know. That's a confusing question. Come back to me in a few minutes and I'll think about it.
Yeah, the right now part is makes it difficult, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm not a quick thinker, let's be honest.
You're the thinker per se.
No, not really. No, I'm a waffle man. I've told you this. Actually, waffles are quite nice, but you have to be gluten-free waffles.
But how do you make gluten-free waffles?
I don't know. I have no idea.
So eating eggs?
Yes, but you can have flour. I've made things like gluten-free pierogi, you know, like the little Polish dumpling things. But it takes a long time because, you know, you blend different kinds of, like, rice flour and potato flour and stuff like that. And, yeah, anyway, we digress.
How did it turn out?
It's fine. It just takes quite a long time for... I've got a little press, like a ravioli press and things, where you just make it like pasta, really, sort of basically, but with different sort of kind of ingredients. And you roll out, like, a very, very thin sheet of lasagna. And then you use this thing to sort of cut a circle, plonk it in the press, then dollop whatever filling you've got to put in the middle, close it up. It's just like a clamshell, and bang, there you go.
Oh, one thing that made me happy on Tuesday was when Simon came over to halftime and gave a sausage to my father-in-law.
I do that every game.
It felt like nature was healing.
That's a tradition that's been going on for many, many years now. Yeah. At halftime, I always have a little bag of sausages as a treat. My wife always, you know, has some sort of pastry, to guzzle on, but I have this little bag of sausages and from very, very early on. Cause I remember turning around and trying to offer one because I've just forgotten completely to Esther and Jan. And of course, you know, being a vegetarian, so having this big lump of pork probably isn't a very good thing to offer them, really. But Andreas was quite happy about taking it. So from that point onwards, every halftime, it's a tradition. As soon as the whistle goes, you get your little bag of sausages out and off you go. So, yeah.
One thing that doesn't make me happy is that there was a 70-day break between Bundesliga games and Olympiastadion. Got the idea to repair some of the gates, and the gates now don't really work.
Oh, okay.
That's why they offered the discount for people who came in, like the free drink if you come in before two.
Well, that was all about.
Yeah.
The gate. Because before the game, actually, something I forgot to mention, they put extra security sort of barriers, didn't they, in front of the turnstiles? And I noticed on the way out.
Oh, I wasn't there. I don't know.
Of course. Oh. Well, they were there for the previous game, too. But when we came out, they, unless I was just imagining things, which happens sometimes, these extra barriers, which sort of funnel people through into the turnstiles even, I think they're gone.
On Tuesday, I went with a banner, so I went to the middle.
Oh, right.
VIP access.
Yeah, it was almost as if they'd put these, they put these extra barriers in front of the turnstiles so people couldn't rush them. Speculating? I don't know. I've never seen them up there before. They look like they were sort of portable's the right word, but you can sort of section together.
I was walking out on Tuesdays like, why is there all this cable sticking out on the top? It doesn't look safe. Joe, what makes you happy?
Skiing, I guess, right now. I don't know. That's where my head's been.
How's it going?
A little bit lately. Good, I think. I'm flying to Kelowna, British Columbia, on Wednesday, so I actually might miss the match on Saturday because that's another three more hours. So I think the match will start at 6:30 a.m. on Saturday, and I'll be participating in a bachelor party all week long. So I don't think I'll be awake at 6:30 in the morning to catch the match on Saturday. But So
maybe you will.
Well, maybe I'll still be awake. Actually,
yeah. So, if the party is good enough, yeah. Maybe.
And then I can go to bed maybe with a win, you know, or something. But
let's not get carried away.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. No. But yeah, after 20 years of not skiing, I was a pretty avid skier when I was a teenager, and just having been back on the hill last week was just a lot of fun, pretty exciting, and a lot of thoughts around getting back into skiing. Probably that.
Isn't that riding a bike?
It is. It's actually surprisingly a lot like that, because even my first run last week, like I said, in 20 years, I was going to, like in my head, I was like, I'm going to snowplow, you know, the step one basic learner move, right? And so I'm just going to snowplow down the hill, take it easy. And then, but once I started going down the hill, I couldn't even, because my muscle memory seemed to take over, and I just started going back into parallel turns like immediately. So like I was trying to snowplow, but I couldn't because it was just like riding a bike. So that was really nice and comforting.
Nice. Jan, what makes you happy?
I met a former colleague and we had coffee, and then we went to a hairdresser, and then we had falafel, and then we went to another coffee roasters.
And they had a hot wax.
No, the bus. And we went to this coffee roasters in Wedding, and the roaster was on. So when I got out of the car, I smelled it, and that makes me happy. The smell of roasted coffee.
Smell of roasting coffee is lovely, isn't it?
Oh, and when my daughter lies next to me, and she has this thing where now she laughs, like, so everybody sees she's laughing, she's like, very, very artificial, but it's so cute because she's so, like, she's laughing, and she's laughing about how she's laughing, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Question.
Yes.
Will Hertha stay in?
Ooh.
I say yes.
Okay, I say no.
I'm going to say yes. Just, I have to say yes. Just, I got to believe.
Yeah.
But,
we've been this bad before, and somehow by some strange voodoo, we've held in there.
Remember last year when we had Corkwood as a coach? I mean, some people say that Schwarz should go, but Schwarz, for me, is the right guy in the right place at the right time. Simon.
Simon what?
Do they stay in or not?
Kind of thinking yes, but, yeah.
Wow.
Nervously. Skin of the teeth, like we always seem to manage to do.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to worry about Europe too much this year.
I mean, very, very selfishly, obviously, I hope they do. I mean, if they don't, it's a reality of the league, right? Like, fine. Like, it's kind of happens, but I don't want it to. But the selfish part is that I don't think the BL2 streams in Canada. Like, I don't think anyone has the rights to that.
Oh, and so, shit. You're right.
For me, it's simply about I won't get to watch the games anymore if they're in the BL2. Yeah. Like, when I'm in Berlin, I'll go to the game, sure. I'll go to the BL2 game. I don't care about that. You know, but I'll be missing every match if they don't stay up. So,
yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think they will stay up. But I hope I'm wrong. We'll see, I guess. So, what else do we have anything else on the menu? Or
we reacted sort of massively with Jan's very impressive list of players coming in and out. I mean, that was.
That was the highlight.
That was awesome. That was.
Yes.
There was a question.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
From Brian. Realistically, how are we going to get anyone to come aboard a burning ship?
Feels like a bit of a loaded question.
Yeah. It's not burning. It's just a storm.
Yeah. So wait, are we burning or sinking?
It's not burning, okay. It's sinking.
Yeah. What we need to, if we're a burning ship, we just need to get somebody that's good in a ship that's sinking. They're going to jump off the sinking ship onto ours just because it's still afloat.
Well, I mean, but if it's burning, if it starts sinking, the fire will be taken care of, right?
That's positive. I like that.
You know, let's be practical.
You're kind of hoping that, you know, with the change that's happened, that it will become a bit more professional. Perhaps I'm being overly optimistic there. You kind of hope, really. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened on Tuesday, but it was diabolically awful. I mean, you can just tell, can't you? Because the players can play because they were so much better on Tuesday.
On Saturday.
So something, Saturday. Something was, not on Tuesday. But, anyway, something was bugging the team big time there. Because they hadn't had a very good result previously at Bochum, but they were awful.
I think I left the seats after 20 minutes or so, or half an hour, 20 minutes. And I was walking past the Ostkurve outside. And I could also already hear them chant, "Wir wollen euch kämpfen sehen, wir wollen euch kämpfen sehen." When they say that, that's the worst thing that can happen when your fans tell you that you should at least pretend that you're fighting.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I just thought of something terrible. The chants from the Kopenick fans for the last 20 minutes or so of the match there. The na 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 na. Goodbye. Oh my God. That almost made me stop watching. Like, because it's all I could hear for a while. And oh, that was brutal.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. And I was there. Perhaps my sort of had an inner filter that just blocked it out. Probably.
Because that song, I mean, for those people who don't know, that song is quite popular. For example, in Montreal, in the Montreal versus Quebec, when Quebec had a team, at the end, near the end of every hockey game, whoever was winning, their fans would go, as you said, Joel, na 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 na, hey, goodbye. And I didn't even know that it would be a thing in Berlin, to be honest. So, okay, that's interesting.
My favorite chant was when Hamburg was losing to Hertha in the season they were almost, but they were finally go down. There's a song by a famous folk singer, and it's called "In Hamburg sagt man tschüss, das heißt auf Wiedersehen."
Very appropriate.
Oh, by the way, I still have all the transfers open. Two interesting things. Jürgen Eklenkamp came in for 3 million, and we got rid of him for 5, which I think is interesting. He played like 5 games. And
yeah,
the worst transfers, Jessic Nankam was loaned out to Fürth. They bought him for 1.5 million, and then Hertha had to buy him back for 2 million.
Oof. Yes.
A player you already owned.
And he blew his ACL immediately at Fürth, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Could be worse. You could give Cordoba to some strange Russian team.
Yeah, that's not able to pay you afterwards. That's a pretty rough. Jesus. I'm still not over that one.
No.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Yes. Okay. So
Slava Ukraine, I guess.
Yes. If only for that reason.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there was an interview with Hani Mukhtar.
Yes.
And they asked him about Hertha, and he got quiet for a second and he sounded really emotional. He said, "Hertha is my club, will always be my club."
All right, so welcome back. We had a little technical glitch, but it seems to be okay right now. But it's all right because we were on the verge of wrapping up anyways. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being here, Simon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And always remember, if life gets too much, just take a pee-pee popsicle.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan. Thank you, Jan. See you next time. Thank you, Joel. Any parting words?
I mean, in Canada, it's a long-standing warning to always beware of yellow snow.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Good point. Excellent.
It was great seeing you guys again.
Likewise. And hopefully things will get better. And AOE.
Have the best day.
All right. Cheers.